Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we're of course going to be talking about the reaction to Tesla's fourth quarter delivery and production report. I went through my thoughts yesterday, and today we've had a chance to see the market react, as well as analysts. So we'll spend some time on that just to kind of try to understand Wall Street's latest thoughts. Then we also do have a couple of other stories. All right, so very, very strong day for Tesla today, obviously finishing up 13.5% to close just below $1,200 a share at $1,199.78. This is the fifth highest close for Tesla stock all time. And I think with that, the Elon sale now and the structure of it completely forgotten about, and all the hand-wringing about that now already looking silly. With the gain today, Tesla is actually the best performing stock in all the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ 100 year to date. Obviously, that's just been today, but great way to start the year, and we'll see if Tesla can maintain that spot throughout the year and maybe end it in the number one slot as well. Sometimes on big days like this, it's nice to kind of take a look at the volume. And volume wasn't actually too crazy today, about 33 million shares traded so far. We'll see a little bit more in the after hours as well. But it's only been a couple of weeks since we've seen volume at 30 million shares or more. And just for some more context, the Q3 delivery report, the day following that, traded about 30.4 million. So only a little bit more than Q3, even though this was obviously a much bigger beat. All right, so let's get into analyst reaction. Obviously, there's a bit of a spectrum here in terms of how valuable each analyst report is, but I think in general, it's good to review these notes around this period of time just to kind of get a sense for how Wall Street is collectively thinking about the numbers. For shorter periods of time, perception is equally, if not even more important than what's fundamentally happening with the company, and things like this help shape perception. So that being said, one of the first notes I saw was from Alex Potter, Piper Sandler. Of course, he was happy with the numbers Tesla reported. As we talked about last night, I think this was universally ahead of each analyst's expectation. And Alex points out that, quote, with implied annualized production of 1.22 million units, Tesla's Q4 run rate also suggests that 2022 consensus is too low. For reference, the current street expectation calls for 1.28 million deliveries in 2022. Tesla could achieve this target even if the company stopped adding capacity, which is unrealistic. Recall that Tesla will be opening new factories in Germany and Texas this year. In light of the strong Q4 results, our own 2022 estimate of 1.38 million deliveries is probably also too low. Perhaps just as importantly, with such a large quarter-over-quarter increase in volume, Tesla's margins may have ramped up substantially again in Q4. We will provide a model update before the company reports full Q4 results sometime in late January, but for now, our estimates are biased higher. End quote. So we may end up seeing a price target increase from Piper Sandler before Q4 earnings. When Alex set his price target, which is $1,300 per share, that was a street high by a decent amount. Since then, many other analysts have stepped their price targets up, and a few have even surpassed that level. I think that allows a bit more tolerance or acceptance of even higher price targets, so I wouldn't be surprised to see that soon from Piper Sandler. Next, we'll take a look at Morgan Stanley. Adam Jonas, I think, would have been a great YouTuber. He's always got very, we'll say, click-worthy titles. The title here asking the question of if 2 million units is possible for Tesla for 2022. The note first shares Jonas's three key thoughts on the Q4 report. It says that it's not just the unit beat, but the favorable economics from reducing proportion of vehicles coming out of Fremont, because they believe that Shanghai has higher gross margins. I'll add some context to that. In Q2, about 47% of Tesla's production was from Shanghai. That bumped up to about 54% in Q3, and then probably somewhere in the 58% ballpark for Q4. While I do agree with the premise and lower costs in Shanghai are helpful or constructive, as an analyst might say, I don't fully agree with the degree that Jonas suggests here. He's saying that the spread might be as high as 20 margin points, with a 20% gross margin from Fremont and a 40% gross margin from Shanghai. I think that completely ignores vehicle mix, which is pretty clearly more heavily skewed towards standard range vehicles in China. And you don't even have to really look further than the fact that there is a standard range Model Y available in China and not anywhere else. Again, though, I agree with the overall point that's being made there. The second key thought, nothing too interesting here, basically just saying that fiscal year 2022 share price will be driven by the ramp in economics of Berlin and Austin, 4680s, potential geographical expansion, and better awareness of the future rounded out product lineup. Third key thought is something Jonas has said before. They think 2022 is the year where Tesla can begin to perform like a TerraCap. Basically that what we're seeing today and what we saw in Q4, that was all the result of what Tesla was doing at a much smaller scale. Mostly the fruits of their effort as something in that $50 billion market cap range. And it's been relatively recently that we've seen Tesla step up really into that new territory, which gives Tesla a lot of power in a lot of different areas. But like always, it's going to take some time for that to show through, and maybe we start to see a little bit of that this year. As for that 2 million in 2022 possibility, Jonas doesn't really give too many thoughts on that, I guess. He just kind of says that they describe it as a stretch target, but one that looks more realistic following Q4 deliveries, and that they believe that when fully ramped, the addition of Berlin and Austin will take Tesla's global installed capacity closer to 3 million units rather than 2.5 million units. Yeah, I think that's safe to say. And actually, I would say it's going to be a lot closer to 5 million than it will be to 3 million. So anyway, again, interesting topic question from Jonas, but nothing in the note that really gives any particular insight on that title. Oh, and also no price target increase from Morgan Stanley. They're still at that same $1,200. Next, we've got Goldman Sachs, a couple interesting things in here, and then the rest will be pretty quick. They've kept their same $1,125 price target that they set back in October. Analyst Mark Delaney writes that fourth quarter deliveries were meaningfully above published consensus estimates and above investor expectations in our view. And I wanted to highlight this because this is something we talked about both in the preview as well as the reaction episode yesterday, that being the concept of actual expectations not lining up with published consensus estimates. So just pointing out that Goldman Sachs also acknowledging that occurrence, always important to keep in mind for deliveries and earnings. The other thing I'll note here is that just as Goldman Sachs has not updated their price target, they're also probably going to need to update their deliveries for next year. They say they currently model 1.3 million vehicles delivered in 2022. But that quote, following the strong fourth quarter production and delivery data, we believe there is upside risk to both Goldman Sachs and consensus estimates, end quote. So far we've gone through three notes and no price target increases, but all of them kind of acknowledging that, oh, there's actually quite a bit of upside here. Might need to be making some changes, but I think a lot of them are just going to wait until the fourth quarter earnings results and then also the 10K annual filing to go ahead and make significant updates for 2022 and out years. Also falling into that no change price target group is Deutsche Bank. They've increased their fourth quarter earnings estimates, but still maintained their $1,200 price target. Same story for a couple of the highest price targets on the street. Wedbush Dan Ives keeping his $1,400 price target. Pierre Ferragu, New Street Research, keeping his $1,580 price target. Oppenheimer the same at their $1,080 price target. Just a quick note from them and nothing too major, but you can pause and read that if you like. So as demonstrated there, I think a lot of waiting, but it was split. Some analysts did increase their price targets today. RBC upped their price target from $950 before to $1,005, and notably they increased their revenue estimate for the fourth quarter by $2.3 billion up to $17.6 billion. I just think that highlights the magnitude of this beat. I mean, a $950 price target, that was actually higher than the stock was 2 weeks ago. And all of a sudden, after Q4 results, this analyst has to increase their revenue expectation just for one quarter by 15%. And that's not an outlier. That was pretty much where the consensus was. And this is just going to continue. RBC for 2022 is expecting 1.24 million vehicles delivered and just 2.35 million for 2025. That's just shockingly low to me. And they still have a $1,000 price target on the stock. Another price target increase also came from CFRA, Garrett Nelson, and they also actually upgraded from hold to buy, increasing their price target from $875 up to $1,250. And unsurprisingly, we're seeing a big move like that from someone that sort of redid their model and increased their earnings per share estimates for 2022, 2023, and added 2024 to their price target. So I think they're probably prepping this beforehand so that it's ready to go with those Q4 numbers. And then that's where we're seeing one of those biggest increases. And I think we're going to end up seeing that from most analysts this year. The other biggest one of the day was from KGI. They've upped their price target from 1,000 previously, which they actually just initiated and established in August, their coverage of Tesla and that $1,000 price target. They've already upped that by almost 50% to 1,480 now today. Last from the analysts, and certainly least, is from JP Morgan. They have increased their price target all the way up to $295 per share. That's up from $250, and I don't know, just always kind of worth a chuckle. Ryan Brinkman writes, quote, "While our higher price target continues to imply a large downside, we continue to believe it is not ungenerous. It values Tesla as the world's most valuable automaker, edging out Toyota's current about $300 billion market capitalization, despite Toyota being the world's largest automaker by 2021 unit volume," end quote. Well, it also puts Tesla's forward price to earnings ratio at somewhere probably below 30x for a company that just grew deliveries of a $50,000 product by 80% year over year. If anyone happens to be a client of JP Morgan and feels like they can connect me with Ryan Brinkman, I would be more than happy to have a discussion and hopefully share a little bit of a different point of view with him. Anyway, in aggregate, Barron's is reporting that the Wall Street consensus earnings expectation for Q4 and therefore for the year increased by about 20 cents per share from all these analyst updates, and that the average price target rose by only $20. As we've talked about with the Q4 results, it's very clear that consensus expectations for 2022 are way too low for deliveries, So either we're going to end up seeing pretty significant price target increases, or they also have to drop down their margins or the multiples that they're assigning to the company, which could then keep the price targets the same. And I think we'll probably see a little bit of both. Of course, a lower multiple on better than expected growth doesn't necessarily make much sense. So in a way, it's kind of just buying time or delaying the inevitable if the growth and margins continue. That's basically the situation that Ryan Brinkman is in. He doesn't want to assign a high multiple. So as that growth continues every single quarter, he's just going to have to continue to increase his price target as well, which is now 3 times higher than the $90 price target he had at the beginning of last year. All right, let's move on from the analyst notes. We've just got a few other updates here. First up, on that recall that we talked about last week, we've got a little bit more insight on this from TMC member SO16, who shared that he had mobile service come out and check his 2017 Model S for the front trunk issue that the recall was for, said it took the mobile service team about 45 seconds, and if there had been an issue, it would only have taken about 20 minutes to fix. So good to know both that mobile service can take care of it, and if there are any issues, that it is very easy and quick to fix. Shouldn't be anything to worry about with that recall. Next is an update on solar, particularly in California. Many of you may be aware of this already, but California is considering a new net metering proposal, and CNBC is reporting that Tesla is informing their energy employees on how to push back on this proposal, which basically would greatly reduce the rate that solar systems could sell energy back into the grid for, dropping that down to the wholesale price, which would be 4 or 5 cents per kilowatt hour on average. People have different perspectives and I think valid cases on both sides on what is fair or not fair for net metering, but another element of this proposal is that it would charge $8 per kilowatt per month for each solar system. So an average size system, that's probably around $50, $60 a month. They say this is to capture residential adopters' fair share of cost to maintain the grid and fund public purpose programs. Hey, maybe one of those public purpose programs can be rooftop solar. That might be a great thing that would benefit the general population. Net metering, I can kind of understand both sides. This, I can't really at all. And these changes would obviously significantly hamper solar adoption in California. So if you're interested in helping Tesla with their pushback on this matter, again, Tesla shared this with employees, but you can follow those same steps. They list a number of them here, one of which being just reaching out and submitting a comment to the Public Advisor's Office for consideration by the CPUC or California Public Utilities Commission. I'll put the link to do that down in the description. All right, last couple of quick things here. I think you all know that I'm not a big fan of looking at individual models in individual countries in individual months, but now that we are at year end, there's some merit to looking at this and a couple of great accomplishments here for Tesla. Tesla was the number one selling car brand in all of Norway for the entire year of 2021. A few days ago, Elon had commented on the general electrification of Norway, saying, quote, "As goes Norway, so goes the world," end quote. And although he wasn't talking specifically about Tesla, I think that'll end up applying here as well. In addition to Norway, the Tesla Model 3 was the best-selling vehicle for the entire year in Switzerland. Last thing on Texas is potentially a little bit of news on Giga Texas. This is from Joe Tagmeyer, who does drone flyovers there, saying that he heard a bit of news on site on Friday that actual production would start next week. That would be this week. And that, quote, "They are driving finished cars inside the factory already, and several completed cars are already at testing sites out of state, getting crash and other testing completed," end quote. So we'll see. We've got to be getting pretty close now. And with Tesla seemingly not having hit their 2021 production target, I would still guess that they'd like to come out for the Q4 earnings report, as well as put in the shareholder letter that they have started production, even if it wasn't technically in 2021. Before we wrap up, then just a quick note and also congratulations to Apple for briefly surpassing today a $3 trillion valuation for the first time, most valuable stock in US history. I think that's actually good from Tesla's perspective because as those milestones fall, it reduces what I like to call the benchmark fallacy. I think that occurs a lot with Tesla where people say, yeah, Tesla could maybe be the most valuable company in the world, but the most valuable company in the world right now is $1 trillion or $2 trillion or $3 trillion. I think this raises the ceiling as other companies check those boxes off. I certainly think that makes it easier for Tesla to go to $1.5 trillion or even $2 trillion and then eventually, of course, through $3 trillion as well. So that's where we'll leave it for today then. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Tuesday, January 4th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.